are now listening to the DolphinTalk.com podcast, brought to you by Sinbad Sports. Remember, you can find the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on the Sports Brothers Radio Network and Sports Overtime Radio on Wednesdays and Fridays at 9 p.m. Now, here's Randy and Tom.
Thank you, J-Dog, for the intro. You hear that? That's DolphinsTalk.com. Music again by Jay-Z, Kanye West, No Church in the Wild, featuring Frank Ocean. Where's that album? All right, got Tom. What's good, Tom?
Not much, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm just happy to be in week two. Is this week two or week one of training camp still?
Well, this is the first full week is completed. We started last Friday, so we're getting ready to start week two, but we're less than a week away from the first game.
I was just going to say, we have a game actually happening next week, and we have football on Saturday, if you're listening to this on a different day, the Hall of Fame game. We're going to have our Hall of Famers get their jackets, tell their speeches. Hopefully, you know, Marvin Harrison's speech is a little longer than, you know, what I heard in his career, which is nothing but two lines.
Yeah.
And maybe even, you know, we'll have some tear-joker moments. I'm excited about it.
I'm sure we're going to have some good tears, especially from the Packer fans with Brett Favre going in this weekend.
Brett Favre, I mean, I have a question in reference to Brett Favre. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback out of between him and Brett Favre?
It's tough. Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over as much as Brett Favre did, but Brett Favre was always a very fun quarterback to watch, especially in 2008 with the Jets. That was very fun to watch. But he had a great career.
I think even in the year he was with Minnesota, where I think they were like 13-3 and he lost in the NFC Championships.
Yeah, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, exactly. Who that? DolphinsTalk.com, brought to you by Sinbad Sports. Again, we're glad to announce that DolphinsTalk.com is a proud sponsor. We're actually proud partners with the sports memorabilia outlet, Sinbad Sports, where you can find genuine, authenticated, autographed goods from all your favorite sports team and players, including pictures, posters, footballs, full-size, and mini helmets, framed jerseys. Go ahead and check them out at either of the convenient locations in Broward. You can find them at the Hard Rock at 5781 Seminole Way in Fort Lauderdale, or you can actually go to Tower Shops in Davie at 2164 South University Drive. Speaking of that, I was there today. I'm actually recording this on a Friday. We do want to give a shout-out to J-Dog, who you just heard do the intro, and also Sinbad, the boss himself. He invited us. We had fun. Make sure you go ahead and check us out on our Instagram or even on the website. We have a bunch of pictures that Chris took. They're sensational. We got a video that we're going to toss up on YouTube. Make sure you just go ahead and check it out. It's been a lot of fun. You guys will certainly enjoy it.
It's an excellent sports memorabilia show. Definitely go check out Sinbad Sports, either location. And obviously Rashad Jones was there tonight signing some autographs.
Man, definitely. Fins up. Really nice guy. Shook hands, kissed baby, signed autographs. Favorite part in the whole thing was this amazing black helmet. It was like a specialized helmet. He signed it with a white marker. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Where can we find that black helmet? Because I would love to have that for my man cave.
That, I think we have it on the website. I don't know the guy who purchased it. I was going to ask where he get it from, but he kind of left like a ninja in the night. And I was like, man, that was just a thing of beauty.
He's probably got that up on eBay already.
Probably. I think he was a Georgia fan, too, so it was like twice as nice. But in addition to that, we are still with the Sports Brothers Radio Network. Go ahead and check us out. I love them. They actually got their new gig, especially with 880 AM, 880 FM. What was it? 880 AM, correct?
AM, yep.
They have a show from 3 to 5 every Saturday. Go ahead, check them out. I'm going to be there listening to it on my way to camp. In addition to that, we also do have our show on sportsovertime.com. Still Wednesdays and Fridays at 9 p.m. We'll go ahead and always retweet the link. Make sure you guys go ahead and listen to us on there. Still got some more information about the fantasy football contest going on. Details on that is still on our website. Don't be afraid. Go ahead, look it up. Go ahead and give us a shout out, and then we'll add you on. We got a few surprises for you, so make sure that you keep your eyes peeled for that.
One surprise now, is that you're going to lose to me. That's not going to be a surprise to anybody.
Well, I think I'm going to be the first. You guys are just going to go ahead and compete for second place. So I just want to go ahead and tell you guys that. We still got tickets available for training camp. There's a few days left in training camp. Make sure you guys go ahead and sign up for that. Now let's go ahead and get on to some Dolphins football and some Dolphins talk, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. So let's go off some of these camp notes that actually happened today. What happened with the running backs?
Well, the running backs are still competing. Jay Ajayi just came back from an injury. They kept him out of practice the last few days. The interesting thing is that it's starting to become more split reps between Ajayi and Arian Foster. Arian Foster has taken majority of the first team reps in his absence and has looked fantastic, according to the reporters that are there.
Well, remember, he's a all pro type of player. He was a fantastic player for Houston. I think his main issue with him was his injury history.
It's going to be a concern. I think if he sees a lot of snaps in the preseason, I may go up to Coach Gase and slap him in the back of the head. We need him healthy for the regular season. These preseason games are really for the guys that are trying to make the roster. The guys that are locked for the roster shouldn't even be seeing the field very much at all. A couple series here and there. Try to avoid serious injuries so you can get into the regular season as healthy as you can be, because you're going to need top-notch players for every single game.
Now, with the running backs, how do you have it slotted right now, 1 through 4?
As of right now, I would put Arian Foster at number 1, Ajayi at number 2, Kenyon Drake at 3. That's obviously pending his injury status. And surprisingly, number 4, I'm going to throw Isaiah Pede in there. He seems to be performing very well, according to the coaches, and he sat out a couple practices. Hamstrings is a constant problem, especially in this South Florida heat. We have some other injuries that we will discuss here soon, but Isaiah Pede, I think, may crack the roster.
Oh, and I think this is actually a comeback season. When was the last time he played when was the last time he played in the league, at least?
He sat out all of last year. I believe he had a torn ACL or some sort of injury that kept him out of the league last year. But it's been a few years for him, so he doesn't have too much wear and tear on his body, which is good.
Well, I think if he's going to continue playing really well in camp, who knows? He may be Daniel Thomas and Damian Williams. And let's move on to the DBs. This is something I actually wanted to talk about for a little bit. So there was this thing I saw over the few weeks I had here. There's like a battle between Lepet and, I don't know how you pronounce the guy's name, Chekwa. But I heard there's like a battle, heated battle between those two on who will play on the opposite side of Byron Maxwell.
Right now, it's surprisingly looking like Chimdi Chekwa. He's outplayed Lepet. Lepet's been with the second teamers for the last 2 days. He has not looked good outside of the spring practices and mini camps. Lepet looked like he was going to be the guy that challenged Xavien Howard for that number 2 cornerback, but he has struggled a lot versus these wide receivers in one-on-one drills and even in the 11-on-11 practices. Very surprising. Chimdi Chekwa has performed well. He's been playing hard on the press. He's been doing pretty well. If you don't know who he is, he came from Oakland before he arrived in Miami. He has only started, looks like, 4 games in his career. He does not have a career interception either, so that depth in that back end is still light, especially with Xavier Howard still out.
Is there any type of clarity, especially with Bobby McCain? I know he was injured to start training camp, and I know that he's pretty much a virtual lock for the starting slot position.
He is on virtual lock for that starting slot spot. The team did not want to move him around very much at all, just based on his knowledge of playing in the slot, as well as how well he played last year in that limited role. He did great in the spring practices and mini camps. He's flashed a little bit here during training camp. They're taking it easy with a lot of these guys. You know, if there's any kind of minor tweaks, they're just going to sit them out of practice, not play them very much. I'd be surprised to see a few of the guys that were injured this week actually touch the field next week.
What about linebackers? Let's get into that. We as in the Dolphins actually signed a new linebacker. Who is this guy?
Danny Lansana. He is a linebacker that came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His previous 2 years as Issa, our new anointed starting safety, he played very well over his last 2 years and got noticed. The only thing with Danny is he's much older. He's 30 years old, but has only been in the league for his he was in the league in 2008 with the Packers, and then he was out of the league until 2013 when he joined the Jets. That was a very brief stint. He didn't play a game. Went to the Tampa Bay Bucks for one game in 2013, but he was on the roster for 16 games the next 2 years. Let me run through his 2014, Randy, because this is where he could be that reserve / role player that Miami could need on that back end of the middle of the linebackers. He started 11 games. He had 82 combined tackles, 61 total, and 21 assists, 1.5 sacks. Now this is where it gets good. 8 passes defended, 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns.
Jeez, I did not expect that.
So he is definitely going to bring some depth to the linebacking corp, at least provide some additional experience as well as competition for the linebacker position. He's playing for a job. He played well the last 2 years with the Tampa Bay Bucks in a fill-in role, but he did start 11 games in 2014 and 2015, so he's got some experience. He's going to push, Cole Meese, Jelani Jenkins. Keke Alonso is pretty much a lock at this point. Thankfully, he's not injured yet. Hopefully, he does not get injured. But Danny's going to provide some competition, and that's what the team has been looking for, is competition.
I was just going to say, do you know who the highest-rated player on the with the linebackers, the highest rated player on Madden with the Dolphins linebackers?
I would have to say Jelani Jenkins.
It is actually Cole Meese.
Ugh.
he's rated 82. He's actually like a top 16 outside linebacker.
He's got to be like ranked like a 30 against the run.
He surprisingly gets these very good ratings, but we watch him play and there's no wow factor with him.
No. The only wild factor is when he gets blown off blocks by offensive linemen.
Or he can't break off a block and get a tackle, or he's late for a play. Hopefully with this new defense, there are those opportunities for him to make a play there. Plus Keke Alonso. Keke Alonso is a very, very, very solid linebacker. Hopefully he's healthy.
He needs to stay healthy. He did get a day of rest today. To keep him fresh. So James Michael Johnson got some time with the first team. We talked about him briefly in our preview. He's a guy to actually watch out for, to potentially crack the linebacker spot. Amazing enough, not too many crazy injuries, but we have some tweaks. Kenyon Drake pulled up on a very nice long run today at practice with his hamstring that he did hurt. So hopefully it's not a tear. Hopefully it's just a pull, and he's going to miss some time. Jordan Lucas is also out. He's a cornerback slash safety. I had him actually in my top six for corners that would make the roster. Mm-hmm. And Devontae Parker sat out today, along with Ndamukong Suh and Brandon Albert.
Well, but Brandon Albert and Ndamukong Suh, I think those are just more of a precaution.
Without a doubt.
I mean, remember, it's still training camp and it's still preseason. And I don't really think they are injured, but they want to keep those guys fresh for when the games really matter.
That's right. Ndamukong Suh sat out. He felt a little tightness in his back, but nothing serious that's going to keep him out very long. He's probably tired of throwing the offensive line around, which has been quite a story in itself on Twitter. I made note of that today. That man, Dolphins fans, we gotta just take a deep breath and know it's practice. That's all it is. This is where the guys gel. This is where the guys come together. It's gonna be sloppy. We just have to accept it and move on, and just feel that on week one against the Seattle Seahawks, the team will be ready to play.
I had a question about that, too. I actually keep seeing, like, an update on who they're starting the offensive line, and I still keep hearing Dallas Thomas starting and Billy Turner starting.
The Dallas Thomas thing, I think, is just a formality right now. Laremy Tunsil has been playing primarily left tackle with the second teamers, but he is getting plenty of first team reps at left guard. I think that's, again, just a formality at this point that Tunsil will be the starting left guard when it comes to week one. As long as he plays well in the preseason and proves it, he should be the starter. I mean, there shouldn't be any doubt about it. The guy's got, fire in his veins. He's out there. He's competing every single day. The fact that Albert was out today, he was actually our left tackle. So they're getting him as much work as possible in the event of a injury to Brandon Albert, that he will be able to slide right into the left tackle and not miss a beat.
I think even speaking of Laremy Tunsil, there was actually a fight earlier in the week with him and Chris McCain. And you know I love me some training camp fights.
I do. Training camp fights are, it's all about, you know, competing. And that's really what it was about. The Tunsil and McCain were locked into a great battle on the snap, and they kept going after the whistle. And McCain swatted Tunsil's arms away, and Tunsil shoved him in the face mask. It's all, you know, both guys said, you know, it's all about competing. You know, I'm not mad at them. This is what it is. They're brothers. They're going to fight. They're at it. They're in pads finally. Enough of this finesse crap. They're finally hitting each other at camp. So it's going to get chippy. It's chippy all around the league. It's just, you know, we didn't see so much chippiness during the Joe Philbin era because he would make the team, like, run laps if they shouted at each other. I mean, this is a whole different training camp. I, you know, and as a fan of the team and someone who really loves the Dolphins, all of us know what we dealt with Joe Philbin and that regime for, you know, the better part of 4 years. Adam Gase, on the last play of practice in the bubble earlier this week, the ball was tipped and intercepted. It was the first interception, by the way, that was thrown by Ryan Tannehill at all of camp. Up until that point, as soon as that happened, Adam Gase dropped to the ground with the rest of the offense and did push-ups. Ndamukong Suh ran over, pounded his fist on the ground, and told him to keep going, because he didn't believe he did all his push-ups. And at the end of it, Ndamukong Suh and him embraced each other, smiled, laughed, and got back to work.
That's what I love to hear.
The leader of the team is with the coach. Last year, you just didn't see that with Sue and Joe Philbin, and you didn't even see it with Dan Campbell. But it looks like Sue is reinvigorated. He looks very focused. The team looks focused. They're having a lot more fun. Take the camp tweets with a grain of salt. It's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, we have one reporter says Tannehill looks good. Another one says he doesn't look good. The offense isn't doing anything. So you take it for what it's worth. We're going to find out what this team looks like briefly next Friday in their first preseason game.
Who are they actually playing?
What was that?
Who are they playing?
Next week, the game, I believe, is Friday night. It's going to be 7 o'clock kickoff, and it's going to be against the New York Giants.
I'm excited.
I am, too. That actually is going to be on locally for me, being a New York resident. That's actually going to be on local TV, so I'll be able to enjoy the game live. So I'll be live tweeting during the game. I also have Periscope. I'm going to start testing out some videos. As Randy mentioned, we're going to be expanding. So I'm going to be doing a Periscope halftime, kind of a review of what's been going on. If you haven't been able to see it, it will be on Twitter, and I will get it broadcasted for you guys, and let me know what you think.
I am so ready for that. I was going to go ahead and announce that. You, Tom, will be doing live Periscopes during the game at halftime and post-game. I'm really excited about it. We're certainly going to promote the hell out of it. Even on top of that, with us covering many Dolphins events, we are opening a whole lot more to the game. We're opening up an Instagram account. We are also going to dabble around with YouTube. We actually posted one video of us putting up a banner with Sinbad Sports and also our player interviews. Make sure you keep an eye out for those. Those are going to be dope. And I think especially if we go ahead and take care of the content, you know, like babies, I think the content will blow up.
It will. You know, it's a matter of time. You know, it takes some time to get a following. It takes some time to get people to really lock into, you know, what we're trying to do. You know, we're fans of the team. This is an opinionated podcast and website. By no means are we, you know, be-all, end-all insiders of this. You know, we rely heavily on a lot of guys giving us some inside information. But at the end of the day, you know, we're on our way up. You know, we have access with the team. You know, we are working to further our access with the team so we can provide to you more videos, more interviews, more interaction with past players, as we've had a couple interviews recently with Todd Wade and Marco Coleman. Again, thank you guys for joining us on the podcast. We're an expanding group. You know, Mike has done a great job with building the site up, and you know, Randy, you're doing a great job with the podcast, and you know, this is a lot of fun for me, and I appreciate the opportunities that are being presented to me from Mike and DolphinsTalk.com, and now, you know, the Miami Dolphins giving us a shot.
Man, I just love what's happening, but this is only the beginning. It's baby steps. I still think where we at right now is going to be double, triple by September, or even the month after that, or even by the end of the season. I think this is just the beginning, and the sky is always the limit. You never want to go ahead and limit yourself to the sky, but we are looking at further than that. Now, I actually wanted to say, is there anything you're looking forward in reference to the camp, like next week, before the game happens? Like, what will you be looking at?
I'm gonna basically look to see kind of a game plan. I'd like to get an idea of what they want to do with the offensive line. We can't keep shuffling the line around. We have to get five guys that are starting with this team from day one in the regular season. This is your week that you start to determine who is my left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle. My five from here on out, no matter what, unless there's an injury. So I hope that Gase figures that out, because that is vital to the offense's success.
I'm starting looking at the cornerbacks. I really want to see what is actually going to be shaking. I know Xavier Howard's injured, and he was our second-round pick, but I'm really interested in Lippett to see if he can actually pick up what happened from this week and him playing down to Chekwa. I think he'll get his face out of his butt, and I think he'll come to play. And hopefully he can actually be a very good player on the other side of Byron Maxwell.
I believe so too, but be ready. Xavier Howard has been working out hard on the sidelines. He's a week away from being full go in practice.
If he's a week away, and I mean, remember, this was a knee injury he had, and he had surgery, and he was tracking to play the beginning of the season. I mean, the beginning of the season. But if he's getting ready to play now, I love that. I certainly love it. I think if Xavier Howard's about ready to play, I'm excited about it. Then we don't have to worry about Lepet then.
Correct. Although we would love to have a guy that's solid behind Howard in case he gets injured again.
Definitely. I think he's still got some time. Remember, that he is a new cornerback. He hasn't played the position too long. He's a converted receiver turned cornerback, similar to Richard Sherman. I was going to ask, do you have any information about the returning, the kickoff and punt return battles?
It's an interesting battle, to say the least. We're not seeing too much Jarvis Landry doing this in practice, which is good. So we're looking at another direction. Kenyon Drake is a name that's definitely on the table. However, he just pulled up with an injury. So It's still a wide-open battle. There's many different players returning kicks right now. However, there's one name that has stood out more than any other name. Can you guess who it is?
Akeem Grant.
You got it. Jakeem Grant, Mr. 5'6", 160 pounds of lightning. He is the guy that's getting the most opportunity at this point. Not only that, he is flashing on offense in one-on-one drills, seven-on-seven drills. He is destroying the defense. They cannot keep up with him.
I heard he's really, really killing it with the drills, but his main issue is his hands.
Yes, he's not very good at catching passes that are thrown out in front of him. So if he's got to go out there and grab it with his hands, he can have a hard time doing that. But it's lightning in a bottle, man. If you put him on the field, you can create so many mismatches with the linebacker. Who's going to cover him?
The guy is like a Darren Sproles type player.
He is. So I think when it comes to the kick return, punt return battle, I really feel it's Kenyon Drake's job to lose, but the fact that he's tweaked his hamstring twice in the last 4 weeks is not boding well for confidence with the team to put him back there frequently. So see Jakeem Grant. I think if he provides that spark in the preseason games, he's going to be the guy, and I think he could make the roster as the kick returner and punt returner and even have him on offense periodically for some trick plays to open up the offense.
What about Griff Whaling? Has he brought some type of competition to Grant in reference to, you know, returning kicks and punts?
A little bit. I think Waylon's more designed to be like that fourth or fifth wide receiver on the team if he makes the roster. He looks good. He's crisp in his roots. Like I said earlier, he was a Wes Welker type player in regards of how he plays the game, how he can be used. But Leonte Cruz really, I think, got a stranglehold on that number four spot.
I heard he's killing it right now in camp.
He's killing it. Him and Landry are going toe-to-toe on these catches. Landry's been making some real sick plays as we expect from him.
He's a freak of nature, man. He's just a baller.
Parker has a slight hamstring tweak. They kept him out of practice, but they feel that he should be on the field next week before the preseason game. Kenny Stills is being Kenny Stills, but the Griff Whalen and Jakeem Grant and Matt Hazel battle for that final spot. Not hearing too much about Matt Hazel, but A.J. Cruz is a name to watch out for in the preseason games.
A.J. Cruz, did he play for us last year?
He's another guy that not many people are paying too much attention to just because of who he is, but you know, based on the camp, he's shown the coaches what he can do. Nice change after an off season where he spent with the trainers with an injury. So it was a frustrating time for him, but he joined the Dolphins in February after he was with the Bears last year, and mentally he feels good. He's getting a good grasp on the playbook, and he's running routes very well. The coaches seem to like him. They're running him with the second group of wide receivers periodically. He's a name to watch in that game against the Giants. He's a guy that if you can get him the football, he can make some plays.
Man, I'm excited about it. I'm ready for some football. And now, before we actually get out of here, I wanted to ask about any injury updates. I know we talked about Kenyon Drake. I know we talked about Devontae Parker. I know we also talked about Xavier Howard. Are there any other injuries that we should look out for?
As of right now, no. Xavier Howard is just the one that he's going to be coming back from injury. Looks like within the next week, he will definitely not be on the field against the Giants in the first preseason game, but he might be able to squeeze in the third preseason game against the Falcons and maybe a little bit more time against the Titans in the final preseason game, but I don't expect him to play in the first 2 weeks. His injury was, you know, coming off minor surgery. I believe he had his knee scoped. And he's just got a long way to go. He's got to get his conditioning up. He's got to get on the field. He's got to get the playbook back under his wings. And I fully believe he'll be the starting corner opposite of Byron Maxwell.
What about Deion Jordan? I know he had a knee issue also. Is there any update about that?
No, at this point he's continuously working with the trainers to try to get some strength in his knee. I guess that he had some sort of knee surgery when he was away from the team, and the team was not aware of that since they had no communication with him. So they're taking precaution with Deion Jordan. He's working out with the trainers. He should be on the field sometime potentially next week to get some on-field work and hopefully squeeze in some preseason games, because those 3 weeks for him is extremely vital to make the roster.
Oh, definitely. I mean, do you still think he's going to make the team?
They didn't trade him. We talked about it last week. You could cut him, you could trade him, or you can keep him. They didn't do either, and they paid him his bonus of $1.7 million on Monday this week.
Well, it was 1.7, I think. 1.7. 1.7, right?
I believe it was.
All right.
Either way, well, he got that money. He's not practicing yet. The team hasn't traded him. They haven't cut him. So the likelihood of him making this team is a little bit better than what it was a week ago. But he still has to play hard. He still has to go out and prove it. If he doesn't do that, then it's just, you know, it's a waste, and then they can still cut him. But I think the new regime wants to see what he's got.
Well, I'm really interested. I can't wait till next week, or I can't wait till tomorrow. And I do want to go ahead and wrap up this podcast. I do want to thank you all for listening to the podcast. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Tom?
No, that's it. Just go down to Sinbad Sports. Get some memorabilia. The store looks great. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Whether you're a Dolphins fan, Hurricanes fan, Heat fan, Marlins, you name it, South Florida Sports is all in that store. So go check out Sinbad Sports.
We do also want to thank Sinbad Sports for allowing us to cover their great event with Rashad Jones. You know, big shout out to J-Dawg. Big shout out to Sinbad. I really enjoyed my time there. You guys will, again, take a look at the pictures we have on the website and also our Instagram page. It was fantastic. The next time there is an event, we will actually announce it for you, so you guys go ahead and check it out. And that actually does it for our podcast. Fins up.
Fins up. Let's go.
Okay, stop it right there. Stop it right there. You really thought this was over? Now, that was kind of like a podcast mid-credit scene, like how what happened with Suicide Squad. But I want to go ahead and I just want to go ahead and thank you guys for listening. Right now, it's Saturday, August the 7th. Actually, August the 7th on a Sunday at 1:09. I came back previously from Dolphins camp. I got invited. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mike, for inviting me. Thank you to the Miami Dolphins. It was fantastic. I do want to thank you guys for, you know, inviting me and my little brand of ratchetness and my free spiritness. I actually wanted to go ahead and tell you guys we got some new writers. We got Luis. We got Young Chris, who's a fantastic cameraman, producer guy for us. You can find us on facebook.com/Dolphins Talk. We have a YouTube channel up, Instagram, and a Snapchat. Make sure you go ahead and check us out. But I'm going to leave you on some audio from today. We actually got introduced to Jelani Jenkins and Kenny Stills. I want to let y'all hear this audio right quick. And then right after the audio is done, I'm going to play this outro music. So let's go.
Have you noticed a difference in the style of coaching between before and after?
Always had the ball.
Like in the last, like the last regime in between this one?
I mean, that wasn't too much different. I mean, you know, they have different schemes, they have different philosophies, different style of coaching.
On the defensive side of the ball this year compared to last year, it looks like it's a little bit more fast paced. It's like the guys are having a good time out there. What can you tell the fans, what can you look forward to this season from this defense?
I think what we've shown in the last week of training camp, we made a lot of plays with the ball. So I think that, you know, you're gonna see a team that's excited, that wants to bring energy every time.
Now you're acting as one of the veterans on the team now. So how is it to be like acting as a mentor for some of the younger guys who just showed up?
I mean, it's cool. You know, me coming into the league, I needed those veterans to help me, you know, who had experience, teach me the way. You know, I want to just give back just like they gave to me. The stronger we are, the depth that we have, the stronger we are as a whole defense. So, I mean, I'm trying to bring the young guys up there so there's no fall off and fix anything.
And what's one of the most important things that you've tried to instill in these guys as they come in and compete every day?
Recovery is huge, especially in training camp. You know, that's one thing I needed to learn real fast, that, you know, you can't eat whatever you want. You can't just do whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want. You got to really be proactive and massage it. Stretch, you know, just take care of your body so that you can last a whole NFL season.
And what kind of an approach have you taken personally that maybe a different time, taking a different approach to the off season?
You know, I've done a lot of things just off the field as far as like yoga, meditation, you know, breath work, having to focus on breathing, cardio, a lot of things just to keep myself calm and face the stress and all that. And, you know, just massaging and all those things you need to do to take care of your body. You know, I've done a lot of different things to, you know, just stay relaxed and keep my body fresh.
Does the breathing work follow you on the football field?
Yeah, definitely. It helps me stay calm and it also helps me, you know, not get fatigued as fast and, you know, relax and recover faster between plays.
That's cool.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jelani. Really appreciate it. I see you again.
I've got to hand a little bit today on you guys. We've got plans to bring out anything against differently than we've seen in the game that we've seen in practice that you're kind of excited about to spring on this defense.
You know, defense is always a step ahead of the offense. Yeah. So we're not worried. You know, they've been working on our task for this year. Luckily, we've got a couple of days to get the play.
Has your role personally changed at all since you came from New Orleans in the last year with Miami? Has Gates changed your role in the offense?
You know, it's always going to change from coach to coach. But, you know, just one of the things I can do, it's putting me in different situations to get up and make plays. And so I trust in the things that he's doing, the plays that he's going to call, and that's going to go out there and play.
Do you think that Adam Gase's offense is going to be able to click well, and is it going to work better as time goes on? Since you said the defense always has one step ahead, are we going to see that it's going to get better as time goes on?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the offense. You know, it's just guys coming together, meshing, playing together, and having that sense of like camaraderie. You know, we're just all learning something new together, and we just got to continue to build on it.
And you and Jarvis are pretty much the veterans of the wide receiver room now, so how is it to be kind of thrust into a leadership role as opposed to last year when it was Greg Jennings?
You know, I was lucky enough in New Orleans to have guys like Lance Warren, Marcus Colson, and And so they kind of showed me the ropes. And so, you know, I learned a lot from them, and I'm trying to pass it on to you guys now. And I understand that I'm growing and I'm learning everything. And so with the team on the road, I'm trying to get better every day.
What's something you've been trying to instill with younger receivers as you walk in here? Like, here's how you do something like that, something like that.
Just consistency every day. You know, coming in with the right attitude and mindset. Just doing the same thing every day. Just coming in and getting the ball touch and the lift and eating, just everything. Just being consistent with everything that you're doing. And I think the coach is such a great coach.
Have you changed your personally offseason at all this season?
You know, you're always trying to get better over the offseason. So, yeah, I mean, I made a couple changes, but you know, I think the biggest thing was just staying here, staying in Florida, getting used to this humidity, staying, you know, letting my body get used to this weather, and so you know, I'm really thankful.
How has the heat affected you as opposed to, like, last year you came to Miami for the first time and as opposed to coming to New Orleans, like, what's the distance?
It's just, you know, your body's got to get used to that humidity. I mean, you come from, you know, San Diego, you come from New Orleans, being indoor all the time, and so you got to get used to, you know, the ball, you know, the wind outside, and it's been hot, and all the different things. So, like I said, sitting here over the offseason was a huge deal for me. I'm just getting used to this weather and letting my body, you know, really understand what it's going to be like.
And your deep ball is a big part of your game. How do you think Ryan Tannehill is improved from that?
Ryan's a great deep ball thrower. It's just we got to go out there and make the plays. So, you know, the ball's in the air, receivers know we got to go up and attack it, and that's something we can work on.
Some guys that you look up to growing up?
I was a big Randy Moss, Charlie Holmes, Hines Ward. Receiver ball. I loved Kendrick Fu Jr. When I was a San Diego King of always came out to watch him. Reggie Bush, you know, being from San Diego, we grew up watching him. Long list of guys, but I love what Randy Moss was doing. And I felt like, you know, the way he stretched the ball down the field and made those big plays, that was something that I wanted to do, and it was my turn.
You mentioned Griffey, were you a two-sport guy or extended baseball?
Yeah, football, basketball, track. We did it all. And I wasn't any good at baseball, but I tried.
Thanks so much for your time.